Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Maddie Fennewald. Hello, Maddie.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. So Maddie is a media specialist for the Missouri Department of Conservation. And I will also back up and say, Maddie also writes a column for us every week on the weather. She's a former weather forecaster, meteorologist, to be accurate. And so, Maddie, I've been noticing the temps are starting to warm up. Folks are getting outside more, and some of them are hitting the forested areas looking for treasure. Morel mushrooms, right?
Absolutely. It's like a holiday.
Yeah, yeah. It's a certain amount of time we'll talk about a little bit later, too. So for those who don't know, who have not discovered the magic of morels, what are morels and why are they so sought after?
Absolutely. So morel mushrooms are a type of edible mushroom that are found all over the state of Missouri. A lot of folks will say they look like little sponges, or I like to say they kind of look like little brains. Mm-hmm. They're very small, and they usually pop up in the springtime, late March through May is typically the time frame we see, but it's really dependent on the weather.
Yeah.
Which you know I love.
Oh, yes,
so
yes.
What you're gonna look for, especially in these coming weeks, we want it to be, you know, high temperatures during the day should be around 70 degrees, and then you want it to cool down to about the 50 degree mark overnight. And then the other component is going to be soil moisture.
Okay.
So when we start seeing those days, you know, maybe you'll have 2 or 3 days that meet those conditions, you might start to see some morels pop up. And I have seen on social media, some folks are having some luck.
Yeah.
Nothing too impressive yet.
Yeah.
But morels are coming back.
Yeah. You know, and it's so, there's so much lore regarding morels. So, for instance, I had one fellow, big morel hunter, who swore it was when there's a certain temperature of the ground has to get. It's not necessarily the air temperature, but it's the soil.
So, very tenured mushroom hunters, specifically morel mushroom hunters, if you can get them to talk to you about where they go looking, which is a whole challenge in
yes.
and of itself, they have these nuances based on where they typically find their morels.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some folks will say, oh, you know, well, where I always go look, I need this and this and this, and then I see the morels.
Okay.
And so, you know, the more you're in nature, the more you get to learn about nature, and you just get to understand, you know, in your own area, this is how things work. This is how the transition of the seasons work. And so, for new morel hunters, a lot of it takes trial and error.
Sure.
You know, we can provide tips and tricks, and I'm sure we'll get into that of where to look. But as somebody who did go looking for morels and found exactly zero, even with all the prior tips and tricks, it takes a while. It's just constantly getting out there. You'll learn about it, and then, you know, in a couple years, you might have your own stories.
Persistence. So, let's talk about mushrooms first, because morels are not the only kind of mushrooms you're going to come across.
No.
And you don't want to necessarily eat every kind of mushroom that you find, yes?
Correct. Please make sure you know what type of mushroom you found.
Okay.
So there's definitely some you should stay away from. There are some in Missouri that are edible. You know, morels are arguably the most popular of the edible mushrooms, but there are a couple other kinds. And so there are different ways that you can choose to get the information that you'd need to identify mushrooms. Online at mdc.mo.gov, we have a free online guide where it shows pictures of mushrooms. It'll kind of talk you through text, like what they would look like, how tall they'd be, where you might find them. That's a great resource. Unfortunately, when you're out looking for morels, sometimes you're not in areas where you have cell service.
Right.
So that's something to consider before you head outside.
Okay.
If you know, like, hey, the area I'm going to go into, usually I have spotty service, we would recommend picking up one of the edible and poisonous mushrooms guides.
Okay.
MDC has a free version and then a more in-depth version that you can purchase. I picked mine up, the free version, today at Runge Conservation Nature Center. That's here in Jefferson City. It's right. 330 Commerce Drive. Mm-hmm. You can just walk in to the front desk, say, hey, I'm getting ready to go look for mushrooms. Can I get one of those free guides? And they will help you out.
Okay.
And while you're there, go ahead and explore the nature center.
Well, exactly.
But once you've got this guide, it's kind of the same as the online portion. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to open it up. It'll give you a picture. It'll tell you the description, the size, when and where you might find it, their habits. So, you know, where you might typically see that type of mushroom. Mm-hmm. And then it also will give you some cautions,
okay.
Especially for the ones that you cannot eat. And then sometimes they will also have some cooking tips.
Okay.
So, I would recommend this book. If I were to go out in the woods again looking for mushrooms, I think I would have one of these on hand.
Yeah.
Especially morels, because we have the pesky false morel.
Yeah.
That is quite difficult to discern between the two sometimes.
Okay. So let me ask this. Are all morels the same?
No, not at all. So we have kind of two categories that morels are going to fall into. You've got the quote-unquote true morel mushrooms, which are the edible ones.
Mm-hmm.
And those are going to be your most common, what you picture when you think of a morel. It's going to be that common yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a black morel mushroom and a half-free. And so you can find pictures of those online, but again, most common you're going to find the yellow morel.
Okay.
The other category is going to be the quote-unquote false morel. Those are not what you want. You don't want to pick those, and those are going to be set up a little bit differently when it comes to like the actual formation of the mushroom.
Okay.
So false morels, there's a couple different ways you can try to identify them. We talked earlier about the spongy brain-like top of the morel mushroom. A true morel has that. A false morel, that mushroom cap is going to have folds and lobes. Sometimes it's called wrinkly, but it's not going to have the defined pits and ridges like the way a true morel would have.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I read that and I was like, okay, I'm going to go look at two pictures, see if I can figure it out. I still got confused just by sight.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's another kind of check and balance you can do. So for true morels, they're all going to have a hollow stem. So okay. When you cut them open, it should be hollow. If you're looking at a false morel, it's not going to be completely hollow. They're going to have little chambers in them. So if you are picking mushrooms in the field, you think, hey, that's a morel. When you get back home and maybe you're trying to cut them up to start preparing, if it's not completely hollow, don't take a chance. Don't risk it. Just set that one aside.
Yeah. Because obviously you're going to want to wash them when you get home too, right? There's going to be dirt and potentially bacteria that you need to clean off of them.
Probably. Yeah. You know, you're picking it out of the ground, so yeah. Who knows what's been
exactly,
there.
Exactly. Okay. So let's talk about what are some of the characteristics of where you will find morels. So for instance, dead trees.
So there are a couple tree species that morels tend to favor traditionally. So those are going to be things like elms and ashes, cottonwoods. Some folks think that some fruit trees they find morels around. Again, that comes down to knowing historically what you've been able to find. A lot of times you'll see them in the same area.
Yeah.
Other good indicators for morel growth is going to be previously disturbed land. You know, especially in the last little while here in Missouri, we have had a lot of various disturbances. We've had wildfires and flooding, and you know, you add in things like logging, that all disturbs the ground. And those are areas that when we start getting into the warmer weather, the type of conditions you need for morels, you may have a better chance of finding them. Yeah. So that's something to keep in mind too. And this year, maybe we've got a lot of disturbed ground. Maybe people might find some productivity there.
Okay.
It'll just kind of come down again to various conditions, but that's a good starting place.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned earlier, so a lot of folks, they become quite secretive where they found them because they come back in the same spots pretty much year after year.
Yes. So You know, in Mid-Missouri, we have a lot of public ground, and that's such a wonderful tool for folks. Like, I personally don't own land, so if I want to go morel hunting,
right,
I'm going to start looking at public land. But there's also competition on public land.
Yeah.
So it makes me laugh. I have some friends who, you know, they have their own property. They get morels on their property. They'll tell you anything and everything.
Right.
Because they know you're not going to come onto their property.
Right.
You start asking about public land and suddenly it's a little secretive.
Yeah.
They're questioning just how good of a friend you are.
Right,
so
right, right.
It just kind of depends. I think that's sometimes half the fun.
Yeah.
I know I have some friends who are very competitive and they all keep tally of how many morels they
found.
Go. And so on a good day, you can fill up, you know, a shopping bag with some morels.
Mm-hmm.
those pictures are really hard to get, a picture of a full bag of morel mushrooms when you haven't found one yet.
Yes.
So it's kind of a game. It's a fun community aspect as well.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, you've mentioned the private lands, but I will say I grew up in Northwest Missouri, and even private lands, because people knew that you would go on that land to get it for a morel. So, what are some tips for successful hunting?
Absolutely. So a caveat to us having so much public land around, it's always good to check and make sure you are allowed to harvest mushrooms off of public land. Some areas have different regulations. For conservation areas, you can find all the regulations online.
Okay.
Or many of the conservation areas will have the regulations posted at the parking lots.
Okay.
National forest ground, you can probably find those online as well. There are some other public entities, state parks, things like that. We always encourage you to check with their regulations before you try to go out and do anything.
Okay.
Once you've done that, now you gotta choose where to go, right?
Right, right.
So in the late March into probably a good part of April, you probably want to start looking on the south and west facing slopes.
Okay.
So, you know, especially here in central Missouri, we've got some hilly areas. You will be getting your steps in if
sure.
you're going to go look for morels. But try to find those south and west facing slopes.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue into the mid to late spring, so, you know, late April, early May, which is traditionally when you start to see morels start to decline in number, you'll want to start looking to the north and eastern slopes. So, you know, if you're not having luck, say you go out early in the season, you're having great luck along the south and the west, and then suddenly you're like, I'm not seeing anything. Well, maybe try heading on over to the north and the east. You know, they may have started that transition.
Yeah.
So that's a good tip to have. We already talked about disturbed land. And really, a lot of it comes down to walking around with your eyes pretty well glued to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about how certain tree species will have them. They're going to be at the base of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
While you're looking at the ground for morels, make sure you're also keeping an eye out for whatever branches you might walk into, because that'll
true.
Startle you.
True.
But there's just all sorts of things, and avid morel hunters will have their own tips and tricks. So it's always good if you have somebody you know.
Yeah.
Ask them.
Yeah.
Because they'll likely be willing to tell you what to look for. They might not give you a coordinate, but
right.
they can guide you in the right way, and they probably will.
Well, and I've also heard, because of moisture of the ground, they thrive in the moisture. Proximity to creeks or rivers sometimes are helpful too.
Just kind of depends on what the weather's done too.
Yeah.
Because you're right, you do need the moisture factor as well.
Okay. So let's say, Maddie, we hit the mother load there and we get a shopping bag full. So we're going to prepare them. So what are some tips for how to prepare them?
That really comes down to a lot of personal preference. You know, you, again, probably want to wash them off when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks will like to soak them just to make sure, because they are so porous in a sense. You know, they got those pockets.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, my family likes to soak them. Just make sure you're getting all the dirt, any bugs, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's just kind of up to you. A lot of people think that a deep fried morel is a delicacy and it's a treasure. You can bread them, you deep fry them, and it's, I mean, that's a meal. depending on how many you find.
Right, right.
You know, the last year we found 3 total and wasn't quite a meal.
Yeah.
But it was a nice little appetizer.
Yes.
There are also more intensive, I suppose is the word, type recipes you can do. MDC has an entire webpage devoted to various recipes.
Okay.
Which was a fun discovery for me. And so you can kind of go through and you can filter by like what ingredient you're trying to do. Are you trying to make a main course? So if you go there and you click mushroom, you can kind of scroll down a little bit because there are other type of edible mushrooms that we have recipes mm-hmm. for.
Yeah.
But there's a couple morel ones. So we have a recipe for morel boats. And so that involves ham, morel mushrooms, puff pastry. Mm. And so it will give you all the ingredients you need, just like a normal recipe. And it'll tell you how to go about cooking it. Another popular one is going to be the morel asparagus fettuccine. The name kind of suggests. Yes. Yeah. And then morel pepper focaccia. That was one that caught my eye. I'm hoping to make it this year. And actually, when you click on the link to that recipe, it has a whole video. It's kind of like our Food Network experience for conservation fans. Okay. It'll kind of walk you through it, which I thought was fun. And as a visual learner, I definitely appreciate the video.
Sure.
So there are good resources both for the Missouri Department of Conservation website, but then, I mean, you could Google morel mushroom recipe, and you're probably going to come up with a whole lot of ideas.
You'll run out of morels before you run out of recipes.
Unless you're really good at finding
them. There you go. Well, and we're going to hasten to add here, too, also put an invite in to Maddie and I. We would be happy to come over and sample how well you did in the preparation.
You know, I'm never going to turn down a good meal. So.
All right. Well, Maddie, thanks for joining us today and happy hunting.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody else.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.